Sportscast, April 8th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to all our channels here on YouTube, iTunes, and Facebook. No, not Facebook. Just YouTube, iTunes, and Periscope. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, you can visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest. We got a lot going on, but today's sponsor is InstaBible app. InstaBible, you can download on the iOS App Store, and you're able to share any Bible verse and put it on, and you can share it to Instagram, to anyone else that you want. The NFL Draft will be held virtually for the first time ever. No one will be in their team facilities. Everything will be done on each person's respective basement or house. Will this be the most interesting draft? You're joining us today, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, I'm glad to be here. Well, it's good to be talking about something relevant in the NFL draft. The NFL came out with saying no one can be in the facilities and it's all got to be done through the internet and it can't be together. The NFL is going the way every other business in the world is going that's trying to survive, and that's going digitally.
The NFL draft between April 23rd and 25th will be fully virtual, with prospects, coaches, general managers, and executives stuck at home to make their fantasy football-like selections. Furthermore, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell made clear that there will be no group gatherings. So, Ryan, you've been involved with many NFL drafts, not like literally involved, but you've been watching them. What is the whole process like? How, I can't say awkward, but how uncomfortable will it be now that it's to be virtual?
Well, you got to remember, in an NFL draft, and teams are in their headquarters, you got the coach, the GMs, your financial people, your owner. They're all in a room together, and they're trying to make selections. They're trying to make trades. There's a lot going on. So if we're not all together, it's going to be crazy. The communications between teams, within themselves, and then between communication with other organizations as they try to make selections and trade. I think you're going to see, instead of, especially early on, you're going to see a lot of teams taking the full 10 minutes between draft picks, because that's, so much communication's got to be done, and they're not just going to be in the same room doing it. They're going to be in their own home, so everybody's going to make sure they got their internet going strong, and it's definitely going to be different. It's definitely a fantasy football-like feel to it.
Roger Goodell says, "We have reviewed this matter in the past few days with both the Competition Committee and CEC, a group of league executives, and this will confirm that clubs will conduct their draft operations remotely, with club personnel separately located in their homes. Moreover, we want all NFL personnel to comply with government directives and to model safe and appropriate health practices. Our staff will carry out its responsibilities in the same way, operating in separate locations outside of their offices." Even the NFL execs will not be together in a room. They'll be at their respective homes.
No one's going to be together. You're going to have, hundreds of people, thousands maybe, that are in this process of the NFL being in their own homes. Communication is going to be vital, and we got to make sure our internet is going strong. Our communications are going strong, and if anything goes wrong, it could go bad. I think right now they're worried about hackers. We've seen a lot of people struggling, with, these meetings that are done virtually in business, or, they're getting hacked in by people. So we got to make sure that's all taken care of and they're all protected.
One of the main staples of the draft coverage on ESPN and the NFL Network would be seeing the prospects react with their families, either at the event or in their living rooms. The happy tears and live interviews would seemingly be over. The New York Post offers some insight into how the networks were gathered to gather player reactions. Players like LSU quarterback Joe Burrow, who is expected to be the number one pick, will be provided with a camera from the NFL, and he will film his reaction from wherever he plans on watching the draft, sources told the New York Post. It could be followed by a phone interview after the selection. Aside from Goodell just naming players from his office, the newspaper reported there will be time devoted to highlight packages and even a potential musical act. So, Ryan, there will be, not too boring, but there will be some entertainment involved and reactions.
It's going to be crazy. This is not going to be anything that we've ever seen before. This is either going to be really smooth or a total disaster. I mean, I know they thought through this a lot, but it just there's a lot of things got to go perfect, Santiago, or it just can kind of blow up in the NFL's face. I mean, my opinion is I think they still sort of waited a couple more weeks to see if they can try to make this as normal as possible. But the NFL is kind of stubborn and watched the crowd of making sure this gets done at the time they appointed.
There will be a dry run of the NFL draft before the real NFL draft. The NFL originally intended for all 32 teams to have representatives at the team facilities during April 23rd, 25th, but Goodell says no. At the specifics of the draft, which was originally tapped as a lucrative in-person gathering in Las Vegas, remain in the air. Wait, hold on. This is old. This is not 18 hours ago. Sorry about that. The draft will be starting at 8 p.m. on April 23rd with broadcasts on ESPN and NFL Network. All the specifics of the draft, which was originally aired, are going to be in Las Vegas. Pittsburgh Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert has reportedly even gone so far as lobbying for three additional rounds to be added to the draft to make up for the abrupt changes to the pre-draft evaluation process. But Goodell has reportedly been insistent about the event carrying on as scheduled, a bait with the potential specific rules to allow teams more time to make picks during the draft. Do you think there should be more time than the average? I think your draft time is 2 minutes, but do you think there should be some more time just in case there's some technical difficulties?
Yeah, you know, like I said, in a typical draft, you've got, you know, everybody in one room and your communications with, you know, the agents and the players go all in one room. And now you've got everybody on separate lines. You know, everything's got to be perfect.
There'll be Zoom calls and texts.
You know, maybe the first round, you know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of teams are going to be, you know, not going to be as active in, you know, trades. And that's kind of what makes the draft exciting, all the movement, you know. We can all make all these mock drafts, but, you know, no one can kind of predict the trades that are usually going to happen in the first night or first two nights. I don't know if you're going to see that, because what can you get done in 10 minutes?
Something to definitely look at. I still think they should call in to say their draft pick, because I think if they submit it online, that could cause a lot of – I mean, it could have some margin of error.
Of course. You know, you can tap into a phone line. Some hacker will do that and start putting on the internet before. I don't really agree with this, Santiago. I don't know. I know – it's fun to talk about, but if we wait a couple more weeks, I think we could have some semblance of a real draft in some way. But, you know, Roger Goodell really wants it to happen, you know, and the weekend they planned. Because after the draft, you know, we don't know when the next quote-unquote sporting event's going to be in this country, and we probably won't have much to talk about. So the fact that I think if we just drew this out a little bit more, because this is all people are talking about on the internet and sports shows, is the NFL draft, you know, and once it's over, and then we're just kind of sitting on our bus waiting, you know, who's coming back first.
I was thinking, you know, that they can meet at the team facilities, but with no more than 10 people, you know, and have it all remote, you know, like the Dolphins meet at their facilities and et cetera. How about that? But it has to be like 10 or less people.
Well, I think what you're gonna see is everybody's gonna meet at the team facilities during the day. They'll plan out their strategy, And then when the draft starts, they'll go their separate ways. So they're going to meet San Diego. There's meetings going on. But what you can't have is you can't have a national TV when everybody in the country and world is saying social distancing, having everybody on top of each other in the room. It's just a bad look. So I think that's what the NFL is trying to do while trying to save their draft.
Ryan, we got a couple more weeks till the NFL draft, and we're having our big draft show, which I think you're able to come. Any sneak preview of what do you think is going to happen?
I know, and you know, within our experts, you know, we're kind of talking about where I think most people are kind of sold on Joe Burrow going to the Bengals and Chase Young going to the Redskins. After that, where's Justin Herbert going? Where's Tua going? Who's going to try to jump up to get, what team likes one more than the other and afraid to lose them, Is Jordan Love really going to sneak into the top, echelon? Those are all the questions that I don't really know because, we see so much on the internet. And like I said, everybody's talking about it. And there's so much information and, I don't think anybody knows anything, there's people probably trying to say that Joe Burrow isn't going to be picked by the Bengals, which I don't think I don't think that's going to happen because I think, this is slam dunk pick to pick Joe Burrow,
Is it a,
for many reasons.
Would you say that, is it me or is it a sports cast thing that everyone will be eyeing that fifth and sixth pick between Herbert and Tua?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big debate we got, what we're debating, is somebody going to try to move up to number three, is there one team? We're really just talking about the Dolphins and Chargers, I think, really, maybe the Panthers,
Is it like everyone's talking about that, or is it just us?
No, I think everybody's talking about it, because it's the biggest unknown. It's the quarterback. It's the most important position and the most important sport, so, and we've got this, we got Tua, who we haven't seen play since he broke his hip. We've seen workout videos, and we've seen, doctor reports saying he's good, but we can't really, we haven't really seen a full,
but his stock hasn't dropped much. I mean, it, like, at the low is at sixth spot, but he hasn't dropped much.
No, he's not dropped because when what you see on film, San Diego, his accuracy, and he's kind of got that, he's got the skill to go along with it, and he's got that Tebow effect, he brings his team together, he's just a great guy to have in the locker room. And you got Justin Herbert, who's got, that prototypical NFL body, strong arm, smart, has he had some bad games? Of course he has, more than you would like, sometimes he doesn't stand out on film as you would like, as you see, he doesn't put those gaudy stats that Tua was putting up, but he also didn't have the weapons that Tua had. So I think, are you going to base it on, do you want the guy who walks in the room and looks like, oh, wow, he looks like a franchise quarterback? Or are you going to take a risk on kind of an undersized, left-handed, frequently injured, player, who put up, amazing stats, who does have a good arm, who is amazingly accurate, he kind of sticks out in film, but he also is throwing to three, four NFL wide receivers every single game, where Justin Herbert didn't have that. Well, he had talented players, he didn't have the skill that, that Tua had. And then, you got somebody like Jordan Love, who if he came out the year before, would probably be taught, who might have got picked before these guys almost because of, his physical attributes. But he really had a bad year. But then, we go see all his workouts, and see his, what he can do. And there's this, should he overtake, one of these guys because he's got so much potential. And you see what he can do. But in the end, I think what's between the ears with Jordan Love is too much of a risk. Could he end up being better than all three of those guys who've taken before him? Absolutely. But I think the risk is too much over the reward that you, the
I don't think Justin Herbert or Tua will fail you, and I definitely don't think Joe Burrow. The only reason Joe Burrow will fail is because he plays for the Bengals, not because he is not good enough.
Yeah, one team that I do not see, I mean, it's a win-win, is the Chargers. I think that team is like one quarterback away from being in Super Bowl contention. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they dealt with some injuries last year, and they dealt with, you know, Phil Rivers putting up good stats, but he threw an awful lot of interception. you know, who's going to – I mean, you look at identical seasons of Jameis Winston and Phillip Rivers last year. Both put up amazing stats, but both killed their teams because of untimely interceptions and turnovers. You know, the Chargers are definitely a well-put-together team. But, you know, if you add, you know, one of these two quarterbacks, are they going to be a Super Bowl champion? Probably not this year. So I think you take one of these two players, you let them – you play with Tyrod Taylor for, you know, this year, and if they do fall off, you know, they do kind of fall out of contention, then you're able to stick that player in, you know, and it's going to be no pressure. I don't think, you know, whoever the Chargers draft is going to start from day one. Now you go look at the Dolphins, I think there'll be a lot more pressure because where they are as an organization to play their player from day one. Because what do you have to lose? You know, I don't think the Dolphins are a playoff team around them.
No, not.
So I think, you know,
not anytime soon. Like, the Chargers are within 4 years if, you know, to get something going for a playoff run.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I could see the Chargers making the playoffs next year, Tyrod Taylor.
yeah, very
I think
possible.
The hope is, I think, for them is that they kind of fail. I think the organization's secretly rooting because I think you're going to pick a guy. You don't want to play him right away, but you also don't want this guy, Tyrod Taylor, to have too much success where you're going to have a quarterback controversy the next year, because the next year you're going to want to play them. Because if you're going to pick them, you know, fourth, fifth, or sixth, you know, you're not going to wait too long to play this player. So that's kind of what you're thinking about.
Denver. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can move on to the Broncos.
Denver Broncos is at the 15th spot. I've been hearing a lot of wide receivers going. The Broncos heading towards the wide receiver direction. What have you been hearing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's kind of. I think they've got a couple wide receivers in mind, you know, who are they're hoping they'll still be there. But those guys are off the board. You know, there's still a lot of gaps on that offensive line, Santiago. And if you look at what they're doing, you know, you bring in Melvin Gordon, you got Phil, you know, Philip Lindsay, you're going to make running the ball very important. But at the same time, you know, their wide receiving core right now is not good. You know, they have Cortland Sutton, who is a good wide receiver. Right now they're number one wide receiver, but he really should be a number two wide receiver. So you're probably looking to try to find that franchise number one wide receiver in this draft. I really think they're eyeing Jordan Jefferson from LSU. Not that I, you know, I think that's what people wrote. I, you know, insiders and know the Broncos. But, again, no one knows for sure, you know. No one's inside these meetings. So, you know, we're kind of guessing. We know what the teams need. So, again, that's – I think the fan base would just love them to pick a wide receiver because then you're now giving more weapons to your young quarterback in Drew Lock.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Ryan will have his full mock-up draft and the week of the NFL draft, and we'll also have the other sportscast contributors giving in their mocks as well. Of course, these things.
Santiago, being in South Florida, as a Miami native, which quarterback would you like them to draft?
I've been in discussion with about this, and I've been saying Justin Herbert. I think he's the healthiest and safest pick. I mean, yes, there's optimism in Tua, but him being injury prone throughout college was not a highlight that I wanted to think about. But Herbert is my safest pick. You know, the only negative with Herbert is his inconsistencies and his decision making. So that's the only caveat. But as of right now, I mean, I think Herbert, you know, could be developed into that leader that we need him to be.
Yeah, you know. I think right, if they pick him, then, you know, where do they do with Josh Rosen? Do they try to trade him? Santiago? I don't know.
Another potential good quarterback. I mean, has Rosen?
I think Josh Rosen
been proven.
Guy hasn't given a chance to play. Yeah, I think he's. I think this is a guy. You know, if he's in the right situation, can be a quality starting quarterback. You know, when you saw Ryan Tannehill with the Dolphins, was a decent quarterback who probably got. You know, was a scapegoat for other team failures, goes to Tennessee, and now signs a lucrative deal. You know, it's all about being in the right situation. The team around the Dolphins right now is not that good because obviously they traded away their most talented players last year.
To get to get some draft picks for this year. So, but they got two more draft picks in the first round besides the fifth pick. But it's I've been hearing, you know, things, you know, back and forth. Herbert had a strong stock with the Dolphins this past week, but then now I'm hearing they're 50-50 between him and Tua. So, but yeah, Rosen is there. We don't know what's up with him, but hopefully we wish him well if he's a bench warmer or if he goes start somewhere else. On Saturday, President Trump had a meeting with sports commissioners. And he told everyone that he's hoping to have the world of sports be back by late summer or early fall. In this call, it was Roger Goodell, Rob Manfred from Major League Baseball, Gary Bettman, Kathy Engelbert from the WNBA. Gary Bettman is actually from the NHL. Jay Monahan from the PGA Tour. Michael Wan from the LPGA Tour. UFC Commissioner Dana White, Vince McMahon, World Wrestling Entertainment, Roger Penske from IndyCar, Drew Fleming from the Breeders' Cup, and MLS Don Garber. Do you think sports will be back by early fall?
Your guess is as good as mine, San Diego. I think we all hope for. You know, you'll hear a lot of mixed opinions when you hear from this conference call. You know, again, you know, I think it's more like we wish that would happen, but you know, when is it going to be safe for us to come together? You know, are we going to wait for this pandemic to be over? Or are we going to wait for this decline, you know, where we feel like we've flattened the curve and then we're going to start, you know, when are we going to start socially gathering again? You know, those are the signs you got to kind of look for.
Probably be very limited.
You know, you know, again, you know, I think if you're going to see games in, you know, regularly scheduled NFL, NCAA football games, you're going to see them in empty stadiums.
Closed doors.
You know, I don't know if you're going to, you know, my guess, you know, is that, you know, because there's so much, you know, I guess, you know, money, you know, money in both NCAA football and NFL football is extremely high and very important to a lot of different people. And I think you're going to see them kind of push the envelope. To try to force, you know, action maybe before the general public, you know, or doctors or might like to see. So in that case, you know, those would probably become an empty stadium. Well, the whole season be played in an empty stadium, I doubt it, but I think it's a real possibility.
There's been different formats for the NFL that I've been hearing, obviously having the full season or having a shortened season, having just 12 games possibly started in October. Would that be feasible for the NFL?
Yeah, a lot better than canceling. you know, I think you would like to have like 3/4 of your season. It gives you a good regular season. It gives you to find, you know, your teams that are good enough to make the playoffs, a good sample size. And it'll give you enough time, I think, if you wait till, again, October, then instead of having, you know, games played without fans, and maybe you're taking that chance, you know, in October, you know, it's going to be safe for us to be together again. Again, you know, we're going to see how things happen, you know. This is still new to everybody, and we're kind of still reading a lot of facts. You know, everybody's got their own opinion, so it's hard to say exactly when, you know, when sports will happen, when sports with fans will happen, you know. Would you like to just have them be played so we can watch them on TV? Absolutely, Santiago. It's crazy right now.
Yeah, I was thinking of, you know, having fans but not so much, you know, have some social distancing and have some face masks. But then I'm thinking that'd be just so hard to regulate. Might as well just, you know, just play with empty stadiums. But that's something to definitely look at. I mean, But the question is, would that affect, you know, obviously ticket sales makes money, concession stands, parking. I mean, there's a lot of money involved.
Those are a lot of money, Santiago, and it is. You're talking millions and millions of dollars in that. But you're talking a whole heck of a lot more money in TV money, Santiago. you know, you're at least if you play games, you can salvage something. You know, if you don't play games, you're not getting TV money or all those other things you talked about. So I think you're trying to at least make compromises here for your ownership and you're having interest in these games.
Also,
would we like to be playing normal? Absolutely. But you got.
There's going to have to be some compromises this fall, for sure. Yeah. It's not going to be
We all want to see this go away, you know, and I'm kind of in the middle, you know, between, you know, it is serious, but you kind of want normalcy. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know.
You saw my interview with my Korean friend, a friend that. Who is living in South Korea, he says that everything's back to normal, but everyone's wearing masks.
Yeah, you know, Santiago, you know, your first live sporting event that's happening in the world will be Korean baseball. I don't know. I might have to pick my favorite Korean baseball team here pretty soon because I think that'll be the only live sporting event going on in the next little bit.
And so. I bet ESPN will be covering that and maybe the sportscast. We'll see.
We might have to, Santiago. But see, like you said, you know, I read a lot about what they're doing, you know. These baseball players will be playing with masks on. You know, everybody in this game will be playing with, you know, be there, will have masks on. You know, that's kind of how they've combat this pandemic, you know, and how they've kind of won, you know.
Another league in limbo right now is the NBA. There's been rumors that the NBA season will be canceled completely. There's also rumors of having to finish out the season and also play the playoffs in one location like in Las Vegas. But Adam Silver said on Monday night that he has told people in the NBA there will be no way for the league to make a decision about when it can return until May 1st at the earliest. Ryan, I mean, obviously, like, there's also been rumors about, you know, finish out like the league in like the summertime, August, September. But what's up with the NBA? What do you think should happen?
So I've been kind of, you know, I was kind of excited, you know, the fact that we could have all these sports kind of going on, you know. But yeah, it was maybe wishful thinking, Sandia. If you keep delaying the inevitable and maybe they do come back, you know, in August and September, well, that's just going to throw off the league calendar so much, Sandia. It's going to throw off a lot of people. In my mind, I think what's best for the future of the NBA, and this is somebody who is, you know, loves to watch the NBA, is invested in it. I even have the NBA season ticket package, you know, so is to probably just to cancel the season, scrape it, play, have the draft, you know, in June, and kind of restart everything as normal, you know, instead of, you know, throwing off the calendar, playing a short season again next year. It's a shame for the team, but I think that might be the best case scenario.
Why would they scratch off playing in one city like Las Vegas? Do you think that's like the owners won't like that, or like what? What do you think they're kind of throwing that thing out? I mean, it's still, it could still happen, but.
It could still happen, but does it feel real? Is that really what you want? Are you just playing, you know? again, it kind of goes to the idea right now. If you kind of, I mean, MLB has kind of tossed this idea around, they put it out there in public about starting, you know, in early June and having everybody kind of have their own stadium in Arizona. Like where they do spring training and playing all the games there in front of, you know, no fans, you know, everybody will be close to the ballparks, you know, travel will be very reduced. But is that really what we want? Do we kind of want to wait till everything's back to semi-normal, at least playing in ballparks that we know of? Again, baseball, you know, does change with ballpark to ballpark, you know, an NBA court is an NBA court, you know, but
And also some baseball stadiums are not full either.
Yeah. These are tough decisions, you know, and they got to be made for the current situation, but also, you know, for the future health of each individual league, you know, what's best for them. So, you know, when you talk about the NHL or NBA, you know, is it really worth it to go start playing again? You know, yeah, I mean, you could legitimately have all four major sports playing full games, you know, in September and October, which would be kind of crazy. but is it going to really impact the future more than, you know, the hurt the future more than impact the present? So that's kind of what they're balancing.
All I know for sure that college basketball will not resume this year. The NBA is a big one, but I could definitely see them being canceled or possibly, you know, play in Las Vegas. Maybe the owners think there's not it's not lucrative or it's not much worth it for the money. And keep in mind, a lot of these players are at home. They're out of shape by now.
Oh no! So you got when you any of these sports that are going to be continued, you know, and that's what you got to remember. People are like, oh, football could be canceled. It doesn't even start until, you know, late August, September. And that's kind of what I'm thinking about the draft is you've got, if you, at this pace, you're probably not going to have any organized team activities, OTAs, throughout the summer. You know, your training camp in July kind of looks iffy right now at best, right? So why are we forcing this draft right now at this time when there's going to be nothing? So again, you know, what's the end game for all these decisions you got to look at?
Something to definitely look at. I know MLS is targeting for a September, October comeback. So they definitely have some wiggle room as well. But
yeah, when we talk about the MLS, you know, this is a sport that's kind of used to playing a lot of games in September. You know, they'll have a breezy season and they'll probably finish, you know, probably around Christmas time.
Yeah, December. They're able to push it back. They're able to push it back a bit. Obviously,
you know,
I don't know how much money they're losing,
you know,
at the moment, but.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be playing in blizzards in Red Bull Stadium, but, you know.
This is pretty interesting times we're living in. Of course, the NFL is the one that I'm really more concerned about, to be honest. But we'll definitely take a look at that. I know Roger Goodell, you know, is just looking at things. I think, you know, there'd be certain cities like, you know, of course, I know the Giants and the Jets play in New Jersey, but New Jersey is a hot zone as well. So I'm really curious what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. Ryan Krista, that comes to the end of our show. What is the best way for people to reach you online?
Probably on Twitter, Mad Dog Report. Just trying to keep up with the times, you know, following the NFL draft, like we said, and just, you know, trying to put together what I think will happen. But again, maybe it won't be, like I said, there might not be as many drafts with this format. You know, it just might be not, you know, conceivable. I guess ideally, Santiago, you know what I would like to see? Start a draft, you know, extend the draft pick more times, a few minutes, and just have one draft, you know, one round a night for like a week. Wouldn't that be great? You know,
one night a week for, wait, like, one more time. Explain, how would you
so
do this year's draft?
I would do it one round a night for a week. So you have all seven rounds. Instead of, you know, like obviously the first night now, we always do one round. But, you know, instead of, you know, day two, just doing the second round, you know. So then you extend the time period. You're not rushed. You give teams the ample amount of time. You know, if you're going to want this, you know, to do it this way, you've got to make it accessible for teams to operate and make the best decisions, you know. A lot of teams' futures are put together on the draft night, you know, whether it be, you know, incoming draftable players, obviously, but also the trades that are made impact teams for, you know, for many years going forward.
Adam Schefter threw some shade this past week that he thought the NFL should have delayed some things in free agency and possibly NFL draft. Do you agree with him?
Kind of, you know, yeah, that's what I've just kind of been, you know, expressing in this podcast. Yes, I'm excited, and I'll watch it 2 weeks from tomorrow because it's a live sporting event.
But you agree with Schefter saying, like, you know, like NFL should have delayed it maybe for 1 month?
I just think, what are we waiting for again? Like I said, we're at this present moment, we're not going to have any organized team activities. Your training camp will probably be pushed back or be very short. So you're not going to have anything going on for the next 2 or 3 months. Why do we have to have it right now? when, you know, I know it's a nice distraction, but again, we could have the same talk, and I know it kind of get old if you talk about the same stuff again for the next month, but it leads away a little bit, you know, so then so at least we're talking about something. So instead of, you know, May and June, we're just kind of waiting, you know, for the first sporting event to come back, you know, because we won't have most likely any live sporting events for those 2 months.
And ESPN is airing the Miami Heat and the Spurs, I think game six tonight. From 2012.
Yeah, those are some good series between the LeBron James led
with Ray Allen.
That kind of was Kawhi Leonard's kind of coming out party where the world got to know how good that guy can really be.
Very young player. Obviously, Ryan is up in the. Up in upstate New York, how are things up there? I know that New York is one of the hot zones, but I know that you're not in New York City. You're, you know, further away. But how are you handling them over there?
It's different, you know, like anybody else. You know, we're my job in real estate kind of, you know, gone as normal as possible. You know, I still go to work every day because people are still buying and selling houses. But, you know, we have a pretty high rate. Our county is the third highest in the state. So, you know, it's nothing to laugh at for sure. But, you know, it's nothing as bad as New York City. But, you know, there's a lot of, I think at least in our, you know, New York City area, there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, I'm hoping. We're dealing as much as possible, watching a lot of Netflix. You know, what's getting you through this pandemic, Santiago?
Well, I mean, for me, I've been very busy. It's kind of been like normal pre-pandemic days. So,
okay, that's good.
So mine's digital. I mean, I get to work at 8 a.m. and I get home around 8 to 9 p.m. So it's nothing. I haven't seen much changes on my end. But, of course, I mean, there's a lot of urgent projects now that things have gotten more digitally. So I'm really blessed about that. But, yeah, it's it's interesting times. I think it'd be a very memorable moment. I look back at 2020. Wow, what a springtime we had. So, but I'm looking. But you know,
2 months ago we thought the worst thing to happen this year was going to be Kobe Bryant dying.
Yeah, and he got inducted to the NBA. I mean, to the Basketball Hall of Fame this past week.
Yeah, you know, I think that came out right away, almost after. His passing, that they're going to make an exception to put him in the.
What's the requirement for that? Is that like you got to be certain years out from the league, or?
No, from the league, yes, it's 5 years. But a lot of times they actually induct current NBA and NCAA coaches into the Hall of Fame while they're still coaching.
This is quite interesting. Anyways. You can get all this information on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and also on our Twitter at thesportscast1, at thesportscast1, and you can see the latest and greatest. We got some polls out. Where's Herbert and Tua? We ran two polls. Where's Herbert going? And the next day, where's Tua going? And both polls have them going to the Miami Dolphins was the number one response.
Well, they're not drafting both players. We know
that. We know that, but hopefully, for me, it's win-win. Obviously, I want Herbert, but if they get Tua, it's okay. We'll just work with it, you know. And either way, Miami Dolphins are in a great position. But whoever goes to L.A., I think, is probably a little bit more happier. Anyways, Ryan Krista, I appreciate you coming on to this episode of The Sportscast.
Sounds good, Sanjay. It'll be safe, everybody. God bless.